Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five, number five.
All right, we get right to it with Candy, Chrissy, Cofield. We're 2 hours away from VGK hockey. You can hang out for Valentine's Day down at Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch. Ryan McKinnell is down there giving out prizes, signing up people for ticket giveaways to Golden Knights games. But it is Valentine's Day. I'm fired up. I don't sound fired up, but I am. I am. And I'm also, I like watching how people behave on Valentine's Day and around Valentine's Day. I've got polar opposites here, Chris. Are you ready? And Candy. Ready? Are you watching The Bachelor? Have you been following it?
I started, but I lost interest.
Why?
Because he's a virgin.
Yep. Colton Underwood is a lame-o. And there's nothing wrong with holding on to your virginity until whenever.
Right, right.
See, and this is a tough story. Because I don't know what happened, and I want to know who did this. So as you mentioned, he's pure as a Durbin Snow.
Yes.
We find out he's a virgin, so that means he dated Allie Raceman, who is, she's a nice-looking young lady. I don't want to sexualize her, because I know she gets very upset by that. So apparently Colton Underwood from The Bachelor was out at a charity event in San Diego, and he said he left early because he was touched inappropriately. Who do you think touched him, male or female?
I mean, my instinct was it was a girl that was drinking a little bit. Maybe she, like, grabbed his butt or something. Something I would not personally do.
Or was this, like, a Terry Crews situation where some guy's trying to make a run at him?
You know, either way.
Grabs his package.
He's so, like, doe-eyed, and it bugs me, dude. Like, man up and just be like, okay, you know what? Somebody bumped into me or, like, spilled a drink on me or whatever. It probably wasn't somebody, like, making a run at you. And, like, okay, you haven't let anybody swipe your V-card. We know that. But stop telling all the ladies.
Look at how uncomfortable Candy is. This is Chrissy. This is what she does.
I am rolling.
This Colton Underwood is claiming that he essentially got assaulted, and Chrissy's like, toughen up, buttercup. All right. I mean, she's the crass one on the show. I can't control her.
It's true. It's obvious.
Well, he's, and here's the thing. Just like, it was Terry Crews, right? I have the name right?
Correct.
Yes, yeah. It is.
Just like what he's gone through, whether it's a female, but especially if it's a male, and Colton Underwood didn't do anything about it, there's going to be a lot of people out there. There'll be many who are like, oh, poor guy, you know, we feel bad for you. There's going to be a lot of people who are like, dude. Because they did it to Terry Crews. And this guy was an NFL, you know, borderline NFL player. Crews was actually an NFL player. But people will come out. Of course, we're all tough guys on social media. But as big and strong and, you know, masculine as Terry Crews is, I mean, he got freaking raked over the coals.
And that was, those were all very serious. That was a very serious situation. The information that we know now about this.
Colton Underwood?
This bachelor. If there's something bad, I will apologize and feel a little bit bad. But I'm done with him acting like he's he's gonna need a protector because he can't live this Hollywood life if he's just like bad touch all the time. Oops, should I dump myself?
No, you're good. You're good. I actually just wanted to make one more check on. If he's outing who it was, he said he didn't sign up to be a piece of meat or a zoo animal. All right. I will tell you who has no problem being a piece of meat or a zoo animal. Hannah Montana. Miley Cyrus is a freaking lunatic.
Did you see
what she sent out to her husband today on Twitter? So she's married. I didn't even... There's another Hemsworth? I guess, is this the brother of Chris?
They actually are like starfish. You just cut an arm off and they make another one every 3 to 4 years.
God, they are handsome though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
So Miley Cyrus sends out a picture. It says, when it's Valentine's Day and Bae says hi, it is just her at a concert, spread eagle. And then the rest of the thread, you women are filthy.
Yep.
You can be filthy just like guys.
That is true.
I didn't know she was this crazy.
Oh, she's crazy.
Well, good. It's going to be a fun Valentine's Day for Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah, I don't know that she needed to share that on social media, but good for her.
I think
that
she's done worse.
She's embracing it.
Number four.
So we talked earlier about Steve Kerr flipping out, smashes the clipboard, gets teed up. Last 4 minutes, Warriors are done because they The Blazers then got, you know, seven, eight straight points. You think most of that was for effect? That Kerr is trying to go to the All-Star break, sending a message like, okay, now it's the time to start taking this seriously. Let's get intense.
Absolutely, because he went 0-60 on this thing in a situation where Steve Kerr is a smart enough guy to know exactly what the ref did. The first thought I had watching this thing with no sound on was that they had decided to toss Draymond. And if they had decided to toss him over that foul, yeah, that's too much. But Steve Kerr knows exactly what the referees were doing trying to calm that game down. I think we're at the point right now where the Warriors are bored. And they're as bored with the season as we are with them. Like, and I can't even believe I'm saying that because we're watching one of the best teams that's ever going to take the court. We're watching a dynasty-level team. And yet, because they've made the entire regular season a joke, and because the only thing we think is maybe if they get a couple injuries in the playoffs or Draymond gets another, you know, suspension for swinging a kick between the legs or something like that, that's the only chance we have of seeing a different outcome. And we watch sports because we think there's a chance. We watch sports because we want to see greatness. We absolutely want to see greatness, but we want to believe that there's that 0.1% chance that greatness could go down, that there's a Buster Douglas moment somewhere in there. And I think Steve Kerr's bored. I don't think Steve Kerr was doing that as some sort of spontaneous, I can't believe it.
He's bored, or he's worried his team is getting bored?
I think that he's worried his team is getting bored. I think the Warriors are potentially bored with this whole regular season at this point.
Which is why there is still lots to be decided in the NBA. This is what you just mentioned.
You don't think they can flip the switch? I think they absolutely can flip the switch.
I think they can, but there's a chance they can't.
There is?
Of course there is. There always is, because you made the comparison to Buster Douglas. The Warriors are like a great prize fighter. Mm-hmm. We tuned in, we'll say, for the last 20 fights with Floyd Mayweather, because you're like, hey, he's going to have an off night. He's going to have a fight where he didn't put in the time. He's going to have a fight or a night like Mike Tyson where he's overlooking the opponent. Now, the problem is that's a one-off.
You beat me to
That's the problem.
And that's the
and
thing.
And the seven-game series in the NBA, traditionally, that is a league where the favorite, the best team, almost always wins because you get to correct your wrongs.
What did it take?
Or right your wrongs.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What did it take for LeBron's Cavs to win that series against the Warriors? It took a Draymond suspension, mm-hmm. and it took LeBron going super ham in Game 7 right. and taking over that game. And they beat the Warriors by a 0.0001% margin mm-hmm. over a seven-game series. And that's what it took.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I am absolutely not. I really don't think so.
Well, I actually think that if they're playing their best basketball at the end of the season, the four teams in the East potentially are better than that Cavs team. Is that going too far?
Yes.
Really?
What have any of those teams proven to you?
I think the Celtics and the Raptors for sure can do it. Here's the deal with the Raptors. We don't know what they can prove because they kept running up against the same freaking opponent and wilting. Well, that opponent's gone now. The Cavs are gone.
So you're saying that a Raptors team that added a guy who sat out the entire season last year at a point when the San Antonio Spurs could have used Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. you think he changes that much
yes.
for the Raptors?
Yes.
I don't see it.
Yes.
I don't see it
And
at
I think
all.
The Celtics at top level, the Celtics
I think
can
the Celtics are
team.
Gone the second round.
Ooh. Wow. All right, we have to revisit this.
Bold.
Okay.
Number three.
Audible time. I'm throwing a story in from later in the show. We just had the announcement. I thought it was official, but they tweeted it out today that the AAF is going to have their championship game here. This new football league will be playing their championship game, their title game at Sam Boyd Stadium on April 27th. I want it to do well, but we are a very spoiled market. We're a very, I think it's beyond demanding, cynical, right? People here don't go out to events consistently. Like, they have to be really wowed. So at that stadium, how does the AAF guarantee that they're going to get more than, we'll say, 15,000?
They're not getting 15,000.
You don't think so? There's
no
nothing
way.
Marketing-wise. You're not even going to let the rest of the season unfold. Maybe there's some star power. People, you know, there's a dominant team and then a quarterback that we know. People get fired up.
The quarterback we know is Christian Hackenberg. And you,
well,
sir,
it's not going to be him.
You, sir, of all people, should be well aware of Christian Hackenberg.
I didn't say the quarterback. That quarterback we know
will
be the
guy. It's going to be whoever John Elway gets rid of and goes down to the AAF.
Possibly.
Tease. But, like, you're coming back to a league that is not that much different than the UFL to me. When the UFL played its championship game here, I was there. I covered it. I watched the Las Vegas Locos of the UFL. And you know what, man? There was nobody there. There was nobody there for the regular season when they had a team to care about.
It is. It's
hard to sell. Nobody's coming out. Nobody's coming.
It's hard to sell events in Vegas.
I think it will have a draw.
You do?
I do, because they have done a ton of research. There is a ton of technology that you are going to be able to bet. It's going to help you with your betting. You're going to be able to see their energy level because they're going to have these chips in their shoulder pads,
Chrissy,
and you're going to be able to sit there and bet, and it'll help.
That's all
better.
Cool. That is all cool, and the MGM's doing a really good job with this, and I hope the AAF has a big crowd. But they're also, here's what they're battling too. They're viewed as a minor league, and on top of that, we're becoming, as consumers, less and less about going out to games. People want to watch stuff on TV. People are just not as prone to go out and pay for tickets and go to stadiums. It's just that's the wave we're on right now.
Well, and the AAF has geared everything toward that, to the point that Chrissy just made. If you want to watch all those things, if you want to watch all of that data being processed, you watch it on TV. Maybe you can keep track on your phone and use that for in-play, and great. Like, that could be a big draw. I don't think that gets 15,000 people out to Sam Boyd on a day that could very easily be like 35-mile-an-hour wind and garbage out there.
Number two.
This is an amazing story that I guess came from the NBA side, right, with Ramona Shelburne. So it sounds like when there was a showdown between Jerry Jones and Goodell, and, you know, Goodell was having a rough run there, and he's still in a rough run, but he's always in a rough run. But he was having a really rough run there dealing with all the domestic violence stuff, that the NFL started looking around. They're like, you know, if we need a replacement for Goodell, who do we turn to? Who did they pitch or at least speak to?
Adam Silver. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was the guy that NFL owners sort of informally approached, and that's the story that came out from Ramona Shelburne. And Adam Silver said, yeah, I paid no mind. I really didn't take it seriously. You know, I'm happy where I am. I've loved every day as the commissioner of the NBA. But Steve, can you think of a guy who would be less of a fit than, or, I mean, unless you're trying to go 180 from Roger Goodell, you're not going to Adam Silver.
It's a weird mix. It's a weird mix.
I don't know
how deep they got into the pitch, but it makes me wonder if a lot of NFL owners even know who Adam Silver is outside of, you know, they're aware of him, but know of his policies and how he embraces players, how he embraces social issues, how he was the first one to embrace gambling, sports gambling. Maybe that's what interests him. I don't know. But he doesn't seem like the because you're right, that's a good way to put it. He is the opposite of Roger Goodell.
And he works in what is the opposite league. More importantly, because what is the commissioner in the end? The commissioner is a reflection of the owners. That's it. They choose who the commissioner is, and he is supposed to represent the interests of the owners, the interests of the billionaires. Adam Silver has a group of owners who are a little more on the liberal side, and it doesn't take much when you're talking about the NFL. And Adam Silver has been someone who is he's the guy who ran Donald Sterling
out of
L.A.,
right?
He ran Donald Sterling out for being a racist.
And what's the NFL doing on that front?
They're talking about Colin Kaepernick not being able to get a job. Don't tell me it's about the play on the field. I don't want to hear it. We all know. We all know what's up. You can't say it out loud because of what would happen. We know why Colin Kaepernick is not working in the NFL. And when Roger Goodell gave his Super Bowl press conference and basically said any team is free to sign Colin Kaepernick, my God, at least acknowledge the moment. At least acknowledge where we are. We've been doing this for years. And Adam Silver has always been willing to at least play that game a little bit with the questions and at least say, at least implicitly, hey, I know what you're talking about. Whereas Goodell goes ownerbot and is just gone.
Ownerbot. Goodellbot. Rajbot.
Rajbot 2000.
Amazing. It's kind of cool, actually, when you think about it, that someone told the NFL, basically, without saying it outright, buzz off. Man, I don't want to be part of that.
I know we're talking about the Warriors taking all the drama out of the NBA, but look what happened with the Anthony Davis situation during Super Bowl week. We didn't care. We did not care about football. You could have told us that Tom Brady was going to retire after that game, that might have been the one story that would have taken Anthony Davis and the Lakers out of the headlines. Otherwise, everyone was going off on Anthony Davis and the Lakers way more than the build-up to the Super Bowl.
Number one.
So let's continue to talk NBA and NFL. Is it pretty clear that John Elway is the worst GM in the National Football League, the worst personnel guy? Or is that going overboard? One of the bottom five.
His track record is not strong at this point. I don't think bottom five is out of the question. There's no way I'd know the ins and outs well enough to say he's the worst.
He drafted someone who is an idiot and doesn't want to study in Paxton Lynch for his future quarterback spot. It should be his specialty. He's a former quarterback. He's now allowed the defense to, I mean, they're solid, but they're not what they were. And they've got talent, but they're not great anymore, right? The offense, I mean, good job. I guess someone in the organization recognized, I guess I have to give Elway credit for Lindsay. But beyond that, it's been a disaster at quarterback. They haven't replenished the wide receiver ranks. Their O-line is just so-so. He's a bad personnel guy. He's taken a team in a city that expects to be competing for Super Bowls to, frankly, a 5-6 win organization. That's what it is. And this Joe Flacco move, I'm not going to say it's an all-time worst, but most people around the league are chuckling at this. They're not going to renegotiate the deal. They brought in a guy who's got back issues at 34 years old, who's clearly on the decline, who clearly is not, you know, a Philip Rivers or an Eli Manning, or if we want to get crazy, a Brady or a Breeze, who appears to be able to play until he's 38, 39 years old. His numbers the last 4 years are horrendous, really. He's a bottom 20 quarterback in the National Football League. And this is the solution at quarterback?
He's a guy who didn't get his job back from a rookie midway through the season. And the other thing about this that drives me up a wall, I'm not saying Case Keenum is the greatest quarterback we've ever seen, but we have seen Case Keenum have success in the NFL pretty recently.
Who's better?
I want Case Keenum right now over Joe Flacco. No question.
I think Case Keenum stinks.
I'll take him over Joe Flacco,
and
no question.
I will take him over Joe Flacco.
Yep.
They brought in a worse quarterback than they had. How does that? I don't even know how this happens.
I don't understand, and I don't think with Elway that we can say for sure that because he was a Hall of Fame quarterback that it should be his specialty, because I don't think you need to look farther than a guy like Jordan owning the Wizards.
Well, I mean, let's go to the obvious, and this is where I want to get to.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go to Magic. And you know what? He's not here today, but he'll crow about this as this thing moves along. Adam Hill mentioned often Magic is not going to be a good GM, and he's technically not the GM. But here's the problem. I don't know if Rob Pelinka really has power. And I think the guy who has power is LeBron. Well, you know what LeBron is? An awful GM as well. So now you've got Magic, who doesn't appear to know what he's doing, with LeBron. And this is a disaster. And it's not over yet. Listen, I guess we give him credit. Hey, he got LeBron. But that's where LeBron wanted to go. But you start to look through This last deal with the Pelicans, stop playing games, because it's clear what happened. You insulted the Pelicans, and then they strung you along and played games, and they're hell-bent on not trading you Anthony Davis. We've brought up this example before. You play fantasy sports?
I do.
There's always a buffoon in the league who every offer he makes, you're like, dude. And then you get to a point where you're like, I'm never going to make a deal with you. Now, that's stupid fantasy whatever, baseball or football. There are billions of dollars at stake here, careers at stake here, and the Lakers came out with a ridiculous offer, and the Pelicans, I think, just played them. They're like, we're not dealing you. And then on top of that, you start to look at, and a lot of this is revisionist history, and I didn't stand up a couple of years ago when the Lakers dumped D'Angelo Russell. I didn't say, oh, this is terrible. They blew it. I will say I did not like moving Randall for Rondo. That looks terrible. I'm not going to get crazy and say, hey, Jordan Clarkson's averaging 17 points a game. He's on a freaking 12-win team. Who cares? But even those moves appear to be bad moves with Magic around.
It's so hard with the Lakers because LeBron is the GM. And LeBron has made it clear. Look at the quotes he gave today. He said it's not a question of if I'm going to own a team, it is, yeah, I am going to own a team. And LeBron's already on that path. So to say that Magic got LeBron, no way. LeBron had already
made his
choice
on that. That's about the only thing I
can
give him credit for, right?
Yeah, Matt,
I'm being nice.
That choice was already made. But in L.A., who knows who's in charge? Rob Pelinka, Magic Johnson, LeBron James, Jeannie Bussett. I don't know who has the reins at any given time. You have to think it's LeBron. But, all right, you bring that up with LeBron. Let's take it back to Cleveland for a second. If Andrew Wiggins had never left, if you never trade Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love.
The Kevin Love deal. I mean,
is he still there?
They did get a title.
They got
that's the ultimate in the end.
It is.
But would Wiggins have been more valuable over time?
Would LeBron have left Cleveland if he were playing alongside Wiggins?
Good point.
You know,
but whose decision was that?
And we know whose decision that was.
And that's the problem.
So that's why it's hard, I think, to go all in on Magic. But man, oh man, I think what we're getting to here is just because you were a great player, why does that make you a shrewd judge of personnel? Why does that make you a cap manager? And you're talking about the two leagues, really, where...
It's so funny.
Superstars make the difference.
Well, let's take care of business here. We'll come back. Because immediately, you know who shot in my head? Isaiah Thomas. This whole,
Don't do that to me.
I know, you're a Knicks fan. Oh. He played the game. Of course he knows what he's doing. That is absurd in many cases.
The crew over at Finley Toyota speak Spanish, Thai, and even Persian. In fact, they speak 14 different languages. Come in and talk the universal language of big savings today.
If you're Denver, do you think Elway thinks that they can piece together a playoff run with Flacco?
I think Elway knows that he can win with Flacco, and you know what? And for some reason, the internet hates Flacco, but that's a bunch of 16-year-olds who don't know anything about football.
Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota studios.
The bottom line is, the guy who just traded for him knows a little bit about playing quarterback in the NFL. He was okay at it, okay? I can tell those guys who never saw him play that he wasn't okay at it. He was one of the all-time greats at it. So when he wants to pick a quarterback, I'd pay attention. He knows what a quarterback looks like.
No, he doesn't. That's the sports pope, Francesa. That's old school thinking, the assumption automatically. You know what's crazy about that? It's a guy is doing New York radio. Isaiah Thomas is one of the worst GMs in the history of the NBA. He knows the game. He should know point guards. He blew it so many times over and over and over again, and Elway is going down the same freaking path. We'll continue on this Elway versus, well, Magic, and this competition for worst GM in all of sports. We'll open the phones at 364-1100, 364-1100. But tonight, got hockey going down. Leafs in town to take on your Vegas Golden Knights. A great spot to watch the game is Pizza Rock. It's also Valentine's Day. A great spot to spend V-Day is Pizza Rock. And Big Mac is on the scene.
That's right. I'm out here, Steve. Not only, as you mentioned, it is Valentine's Day, but hey, Pizza Rock has a regular happy hour running from 3 to 6 where you can get my favorite, the $4 meatballs. You can get well drinks for $4. You can get 32-ounce PBRs for $4. You can also get $7 and $8 personal pan pizzas, but here's the real kicker here, right? It's Valentine's Day. For today only, Pizza Rock is running a special. It's a dinner for two, three meatballs, any American or classic pie, plus an order of Chef Tony's tiramisu, and also a bottle of Mezzacorona Cabernet or Pinot. So you got that. You can come on down here, celebrate Valentine's Day with your loved one. $50 for that dinner for two. And then, yeah, if you get down here before 6, which is, well, 25 minutes, you can still take advantage of that happy hour they got running. And, oh, yeah, also, if you come down here, we got a sign-up for VGK tickets. You're not going to do the drawing today. We're going to take your name, take your number, take your address. We'll put them in a pot. We'll pull at the end of the week, and then we'll get a hold of you. But, yeah, come on down here. Sign up for free VGK tickets. We got some shirts to give away, some prizes, and you can get dinner for two for $50.
All right, Ryan. Thank you. Woo! How awesome is that? Dinner for two. Yeah. Thanks, Flair. Lovers, dinner for two. Let me repeat it again. One price for two of you. Three classic meatballs. The American original or classic Italian pizza, tiramisu, and then a bottle of wine. My God. That's the place to watch hockey tonight. Get down there, go hang out with Ryan McKinnell, and enjoy Pizza Rock at Green Valley Ranch. So I took us down the path of Isaiah Thomas. You get what I'm saying, right? The Elway run of the last 3 years, Magic struggles, you know, dumping Randall and Russell, and then not being able to close a deal for Anthony Davis. This is very Isaiah-like, and boy, especially on the Elway side, because if Elway can't spin Case Keenum to someone else, you're in a league with a salary cap, and you're going to have Joe Flacco and Case Keenum on your roster to the tune of $28 million?
Christy, do you have the do you have the 5 second delay working? Because this man just mentioned Isaiah Thomas.
We had a 10 second delay, sweetie. So don't you go.
So I can go twice as hard then?
Yes, that's right.
Son of a
unleash cotton.
Oh my god! Isaiah Thomas is the worst general manager in the history of organized sports. He is the worst anyone has ever seen. I could talk about Eddie Curry. I could talk about Stephon Marbury. Oh. I could talk about so many awful things that he did to that franchise. But the worst of them was somehow singing the siren song to the other Satan, Jim Dolan, and saying that he was the guy, right? He was the guy who knew, because of exactly what we're just talking about right now. Because Jim Dolan got sold on Isaiah Thomas, the NBA champion. On Isaiah Thomas, the Hoosier. On Isaiah Thomas, the guy who knows. And so I actually won't argue with Francesa on one point when he says Elway knows what a quarterback looks like. Yeah, what he looks like. What Paxton Lynch looks like at the combine. What Paxton Lynch looks like in a uniform. Not what he does on the field. Not what happens upstairs. Not what happens anywhere else. So we need to get rid of this narrative that a great player becomes a great GM. It's more than casino greeting. It's more than shaking hands. It's more than just dealing with what you think has to happen in that moment. Because what was the urgency to trade for Joe Flacco in the middle of February? Is this a time when a lot of NFL trades go down?
Beat everyone to the punch. Can't even consummate the trade until, March 13th? Is the beginning of the new year?
You can't do anything right. We haven't even gotten to the owners' meetings yet. Like, there was no need to jump out there on this. None whatsoever. I can't imagine that you were out there competing with who? Jacksonville? To go get Joe Flacco? I don't see it at all. Anyway, to get back to the Elway versus Magic thing, because I think we lost that for a second. Right now, you got to choose. Elway to run your football team, Magic to run your basketball team.
Magic. And the only reason I say that is I think Magic has a lot more left in the gas tank, and I think he can be reasoned with. So that he's not making every decision. Elway, to me, his shelf life, and I think he knows this, is about 3 years. I think he wants to walk away now, but he's being nice because of the ownership situation where the Bolins passed away and they're trying to do this transition. But he's clear. The handwriting's on the wall. He's making moves for now instead of a rebuild. They need to be in a rebuild and target 4 or 5 years from now. And he keeps making moves that are moves of now. And, you know, this is where they're really similar. We'll open the phones here. 364-1100, 364-1100. Who's doing a worse job, Elway or Magic? These two icons of their cities. This is what makes it really difficult. No one is pushing either one of these guys out the door because they're gods in their cities. It makes it almost impossible to get rid of them unless they go out on their own terms. Genie's not. How about this? Think about this. Genie Buss had an easier time dumping her brother, Jimmy, who was a disaster. She fired her brother. I don't think she can do that with Magic. Let's go out to the phones. 364-1100, 364-1100. And we'll probably have some Laker fans who are, you know, hey, we got time. Relax. Magic's doing okay. I don't know. It's not heading in the right direction, especially now we're finding out that the Pelicans were insulted by the stupid offers to start and basically just played with the Lakers, really clowned them. Ryan is with us. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, man.
So I definitely think Elway is doing the worst job. Like I think Steve said earlier, Keenum is probably the worst quarterback in the league. I mean, yeah, he did that good in Minnesota a year ago, but, I mean, Flacco is just atrocious. And with Magic, I'm reading all these reports. I think Bleacher Report posted something like a week ago that Jeannie Buss said that she wanted Lonzo Ball and Magic didn't. So I am a Lakers fan.
Wow.
I mean, Magic, hopefully he could turn it around. But, I mean, Jason Tatum was right there instead of Lonzo Ball, and I think the franchise is in a completely different spot.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I'm not going to kill Lonzo or the choice of Lonzo. I backed it, so, you know, I was wrong. Tatum is a better player.
I hear what he's saying, though. I hear what Ryan is saying, that Elway has put them in such a spot here. $28 million, and you don't have the working parts of one NFL quarterback on that roster. And this is a fan base that'll stick with a lot. That Broncos fan base will stick through that with that team through thick and thin, but man, oh man, is he testing it out. And on Magic's side, at least you look at Magic on the business side, what he did as an entrepreneur, and you think to yourself, all right, Magic has been super successful out there in the business world. Maybe he can translate some of that over to the Lakers in the long run.
The only thing that saves Elway on the Slacko deal is if we don't have all the information and there actually is a contract renegotiation. Somehow they got the Ravens. I don't even want to go down the salary thing. But if there's no, if there's,
it out a long time ago.
If there's no reduction of this money, if they're taking the hit on $19 to $23 million for at least the next 2 years and maybe the year after that, then it's a disaster. Because it's not, you know, to Francesa's point about 16-year-olds don't like Joe Flacco. Anyone who watches the NFL knows that he's in a decline. The numbers back it up. And the worst part is the salary. This is not baseball where there's a luxury tax and you can go beyond. It's not the NBA where you can go beyond some threshold. There's a hard cap. So if you're spending all that money on Flacco, that means, guess what? That's money you can't devote to other areas of your team. You can't spend irresponsibly like that.
One way or the other, it doesn't matter who the starting quarterback is. You're going to be paying your starting quarterback, your backup quarterback, nearly $20 million. You can't get by with that. There's no way. I hear you. I hear you when you say there's got to be something else we don't know, right? You think to yourself, well, there's another step coming. It's the same logic that we put out there with the Knicks and Kevin Durant, where we said, hey, you know what? They know Kevin Durant's coming. They know what the next move is. Well, if that's what you have to say, then the move that just happened is not a good move.
This is a salary dump. That's the other thing. If the Broncos took on Flacco and they have to pay him his full salary, then I want a nice pick back. Like, they better be getting picks. And if that's not involved, what were you doing?
What could you expect? What do you realistically expect for taking on Flacco's salary? If you get a three, you should be running screaming through the halls, thrilled.
Minimum fourth-round pick. But if they didn't get any pick, man, there must be people in the Ravens organization who are like, how did we do this? This is unbelievable. We pulled this off.
We had this huge headache because Lamar Jackson's our guy, and here we are today.
Greg is up on Cofield & Company, 364-1100. What do you think, Greg?
Well, I've always been a Lakers fan. I always like Magic. But as Magic, as an administrator, he is the worst. And let me tell you why. For him, they got AC, the Davis kid. They were never going to win a championship with LeBron and AC. But what LeBron need is a shooter defender. Not the AC type. And secondly, what proves that Magic Johnson, he shouldn't openly expose all these kids. I mean, they're humans first. You can't openly expose these kids and say they're going to get rid of them and think it's just going to turn them on and off like a water faucet.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. And my final thing I want to say about Magic's show that he doesn't know what he's doing is that he kept that robbers coach over in L.A. in baseball. That's all I have to say. They're never going to win anything with Magic. They got to get rid of him. Thank you.
Frustration. Yeah, I don't like the young guys he's traded away.
Cross-sport frustration. Got Dave Roberts mentioned in the end there. A team that just went to back-to-back World Series. We just got a Dave Roberts
mention.
Not good
enough.
Not good enough. Boston, L.A., that's making them mad. They don't like losing to Boston, Steve. They still got Bird Magic in their brains.
Watch freaking Zubats turn out to be like, you know, 15-9 guy down the road.
Oh,
you know, solid
man.
NBA center, and they dealt him for rental players.
I don't know. How's their judgment on solid NBA centers? Ask Timofey Mozgov.
Yeah, that's one of the worst deals ever. That was pre-Magic, though, wasn't it?
I think it was. It was pre-Magic.
I think it was 4 years and $64 million for Mozzie.
Who came out of the LeBron tree.
Let's flip this around. Interesting thought from the great Clay Travis. Did the Ravens just take an unnecessary risk by getting rid of Flacco. Is Lamar Jackson guaranteed? Is he a guaranteed stud moving forward?
Is keeping Joe Flacco as your backup quarterback a guarantee that you will succeed as a team? Do you think that that guarantees you any more than 8-8, 9-7, and another first-round exit?
Do they need insurance behind Lamar Jackson?
No more than any other team that has a rookie quarterback. And what does insurance around the NFL look like?
That's actually not... We can talk about that.
Do they need insurance behind Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson might be a bust? That's the second half of the question you're implying here, right?
Well, yes. But you just said, do they need a backup? Do they need insurance any more than any other team that had a rookie quarterback? Well, let's look at the rookie group last year.
Okay.
Are you worried about Baker Mayfield?
No.
Are you worried about Sam Darnold?
No. I'm really not.
Okay. Josh Rosen?
Nope. And you're going to see a theme.
Really?
Here. You're going to see a theme.
You're not
by
worried
the time
about Josh Rosen.
You're going to see a theme by the time we're done with this.
Okay.
And Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Am I worried about Lamar Jackson? No.
I am a little bit based on what I saw in the playoffs and based on now. And this is the case for all these guys. Now, all these teams have tape. Now they've got an entire offseason to study the guy. I'm a little bit worried. Now, this is where Clay Travis went that I thought was super aggressive. He says the Ravens better use a first or a second on a quarterback again.
No. Look, in the old days of the NFL, you drafted a quarterback, you sat him for 3 years, and then you brought him in. Today's NFL, you don't draft a quarterback that you think has to sit. You draft a quarterback that you plan to put on the field either from the first snap or within the first season. And that happened with this entire rookie class, that one way or the other, they all found their way onto the field. A first-round pick, if you invest in a quarterback, you can put him on your team for 5 years. You have the right to have him for 5 years. You cannot make a decision after 1 year on any of these guys.
Are you sure?
Josh Rosen played
behind... Are you sure the Cardinals aren't going to do
Josh
that?
Josh Rosen Cardinals played behind that. The line of Cofield, Chrissy, Cotton, Adam Hill, and Allie. Those were the blockers last year for Josh Rosen. If you want to make a decision on his NFL future based on that, no way, man. No, you can't do it. And that's why I say you asked the question, was it irresponsible, essentially, of the Ravens to get rid of Joe Flacco? Because what if Lamar Jackson is no good? What do you have in Joe Flacco that you can't get by going out on the backup market somewhere else? How far above replacement level, to use a baseball term, is he?
Follow the Cofield and Company crew around Sin City on Instagram at ESPN Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company's...
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Maple Leafs, one of the best teams in hockey, some of the top stars in hockey at the Fortress tonight. If you're not going, great spot to watch the game is Pizza Rock, Green Valley Ranch. And because it's Valentine's Day, they've got a great special, the Lover's Dinner for Two. Three classic meatballs, any American original or classic Italian pizza, Tony's tiramisu, and a bottle of wine. Just $50. It is dine-in only. So let's not pull like a Bryce Harper and order 17 pizzas and go, hey, I want, you know, a bunch of Lover's meals. By the way, is someone going to... Can we do Bryce Harper Destination on the show at some point?
Just let him order whatever pizza he wants right now because he's all in his feelings?
Is that right? He's eating his feelings?
He should be way in his feelings with Pizza Rock right now. That's why no one wants to sign him.
Why won't someone give me $375 million?
I'm not doing any short-term deals. I want long-term pizza.
Will you come on?
I'll have a whole pie. So it's Pizza Rock Green Valley Ranch. Get on down there and you can watch the hockey game starting at 7 o'clock. All right, what's going to happen in the game tonight?
I got the Leafs tonight.
Traitor.
Yeah, totally a traitor. You know, we are on local sports radio. I must be a fan. The problem for me is that I think the Knights are in a weird spot right now. I think that Jeremy's right. Ronick earlier was with us.
Look at you. First name basis now.
Yeah.
Now he's been on the show twice.
Me and JR.
Right.
Me and JR.
What was he right about?
He's right that they're in a rut right now. They're in a bad spot of the schedule. They're in a real bad spot in terms of they've been 3-7 over their last 10. Gallant just had to jump them over effort. and you got a team coming in that's flying right now, has a superstar of the NHL, I got the Leafs tonight.
Anyone want my pick?
I was waiting for it. Do I need to ask?
None of your business.
None of your business.
You'd be watching The Star Is Born. You don't care.
This mess. You know that, eh?
The All-Star Is Born for you.
I'm with Gallant. That's my new approach. No picks. It's none of your business. I'm going to keep them to myself, and I'm going to win money.
I hope you don't have a lower body injury coming out of tonight.
Ooh, that's a good line. A lower body injury. I'm out on Friday. Maybe that'll be true.
Yep.
I'm actually going with VGK to bounce back tonight.